In the 1970s, a young Meg Whitman excitedly awaited her mother's return from China. Her mother, a wartime Red Cross volunteer and certified mechanic, had always modeled a strong bias for action, teaching Meg that a woman's accomplishments could match any man's. As her mother returned, she dashed through the terminal to embrace Meg warmly.
"What was China like, Mom?"
Meg asked. Her mother, brimming with excitement, shared her journey across China's vast landscapes, filled with tales of women achieving extraordinary feats.
"I've seen women doing all sorts of marvelous things. Remember, you have the opportunity to do and be anything you want," she told Meg.
Spurred by her mother's inspiring words, Meg would take her philosophy to dizzying heights and eventually rise to the position of CEO at eBay in 1998. In this role, she would drive the company's expansion from a humble team of 30 into a global powerhouse of over 15,000 employees, generating billions in revenue and expanding its reach to over 150 countries. All the while, as she strategically expanded eBay, first coast to coast in America, then across the entire Western Europe, one country would be on her mind: China. Thanks in large part to the countless stories from her mother, who would visit the country almost 100 more times. In March 2002, she would finally enter the market by investing into Echnet, China's eBay alternative. However, Meg's direct involvement would not come until 2004, when a visit to the Echnet offices left her shaken. As she walked through the office, she was greeted with polite smiles, but the vacant stares behind them were unsettling. It wasn't the vibrant spirit of eBay she had come to know and love.
Can anyone tell me what's going on?"
she might have asked, probing various employees before piecing together the grim reality. Her team had driven Echnet into the ground by moving the company's services from China to the U.S., a move that enraged users and crippled operations. Remembering her mother's teachings about choosing action over inaction, Meg decided it was time to step in. Instead of heading back to the U.S., she rallied a group of executives, relocating them to Shanghai to confront the growing power of Alibaba head-on. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 4 of a 5-part series, Crocodile in the Yangtze River. Jack Ma once said,
"eBay may be a shark in the ocean, but I am a crocodile in the Yangtze River. If we fight in the ocean, we lose. But if we fight in the river, we win."
In March 2002, eBay marked its entry into the Chinese e-commerce battle scene with an investment in Echnet, setting the stage for a showdown between crocodile and shark. Echnet, fashioned after eBay, boasted over 3 million registered users, with daily traffic exceeding 100,000. It had a firm foothold across China, its user base equally split between the metropolitan hubs of Shanghai, Beijing, and Guangzhou, and the rest of the country. Its inventory was vast and varied, hosting over 50,000 listings, ranging from clothing to property, and racking up monthly transactions north of $2 million. Undeniably, Echnet ruled the roost, its 90% market share in 2003, being a testament to its utter dominance. Yet the early 2000s painted a dynamic picture of China's digital landscape. While e-commerce users numbered just over 5 million, internet users totaled a staggering 100 million, suggesting that the e-commerce race was far from over, despite appearances to the contrary for Alibaba. In a strategic defensive move, Alibaba, a predominantly B2B platform, decided to enter the C2C space, creating a marketplace named Taobao, which meant hunting for treasure. Tapping on their local experience, they designed Taobao to feel like a truly Chinese marketplace, which locals took to quickly. Taobao's overly vibrant design might have felt annoying and overwhelming to a foreigner, but to a local, it was an exciting adventure. By 2004, both eBay and Taobao were designing very different looking products, advertising on all sorts of platforms, but going after the same customers. The battle lines were redrawn, pitting eBay's sophisticated international product against Taobao's localized offering. The stage was set for a showdown between global prowess and local ingenuity. In 2004, when Meg Whitman touched down in Shanghai, she was met with startling news. eBay's market share had plummeted by half to a precarious 45%, with Taobao close on its heels. Together with her executive team, Meg sought to unravel why their customers were defecting from eBay. The sluggish loading times of eBay's webpage was the first issue, a consequence of moving the site's operations over to America. The strategy had its merits. A single update from eBay could seamlessly cascade across all countries. Global product requests could be compiled, theoretically, yielding a product tailored to international feedback. This approach was termed the train seat system, a method akin to an assembly line where requests were stacked and prioritized based on urgency. A logical system, provided there were enough engineers to tackle requests swiftly. Today, we know that Asian technology companies are in a feature-based war, unlike the West, because Asian consumers favor practicality. They would often switch to other products on a whim. This translates to immense pressure on technology companies to innovate, and those that can run updates with breakneck speed come up on top. The new train seat system placed eBay right at the bottom on agility. As simple word changes would take 9 weeks, and new product features taking as long as a year. eBay had to get faster or perish. Another observation made by Meg's team revolved around business models, specifically Taobao's decision to offer its platform for free. A stark departure from eBay's listing fees and transaction commissions, modeled on their American operations. While free platforms might initially seem irrational, Chinese businesses' aversion to fees makes the strategy a powerful user magnet. The promise of free services in China often sparks a surge of users and merchants, laying the foundation for swift marketplace growth and subsequent merchant monetization through advertising. Alibaba and Tencent would later take this strategy to unprecedented extremes in their titanic clash, deploying discount and voucher strategies that left investors wide-eyed. Meanwhile, Meg Whitman and her team, perplexed by eBay's dwindling performance, contemplated a new strategy. Meg concluded that the solution to their problems might be a simple yet audacious move, acquiring Taobao. She dialed the numbers of three of her top executives in San Jose, initiating a discussion that could shape the future of e-commerce in China. The precise nature of that conversation remains somewhat veiled in ambiguity. Some accounts suggest that it was a cordial exchange, while others propose that something else transpired in San Jose. Regardless of the various narratives, one fact remained unequivocal. eBay's top executives, Jack Ma and Zhou Chai, were together as the crucial dialogue unfolded. Bill Cobb, eBay's senior vice president, extended a warm welcome to the Alibaba representatives.
Jack, always a pleasure. I've heard quite a bit about your little venture, Taobao. It's truly remarkable what you've managed with so little.
Indeed. Every startup must begin somewhere. We're just glad to be in the game,
Jack replied, ever polite. Cutting through the pleasantries, Bill motioned towards eBay's CFO, Rajiv, who slid two documents across to Jack and Joe.
We'll get straight to the point. Taobao is on an uptrend, gaining market share. But let's be real, it's not generating substantial revenue.
As Jack and Joe scrutinized the document, Rajiv continued,
eBay is prepared to offer a hefty $150 million. Quite generous considering your business model.
Let's take a second here. If we consider just the revenue, we might have agreed with them. But the number of merchants that Taobao had was approaching eBay's. That prices each merchant's value at around $2 to $4. Surely they would be worth more within a year's time. Choosing his words carefully, Joe interjected.
Actually, Rajiv, we were thinking more along the lines of $900 million.
Negotiations persisted, with the figures volleying back and forth. But all the while, it felt almost patronizing. For all of Meg Whitman's grandiose talk of China's potential, the proposed buyout seemed more a move to placate eBay's investors. And both Jack and Joe walked away from the table. In retrospect, Joe's counteroffer might have seemed audacious, but eBay would soon discover that the $900 million valuation would pale in comparison to Taobao's net profit, skyrocketing into tens of billions. With talks at a stalemate, eBay resolved to outspend Taobao, committing an additional $100 million into eBay China, a 25% increase on SoftBank's initial investment. This marked the commencement of the De Nuevo initiative, an ambitious undertaking to transition from a global to a local platform, heavily guided by Whitman and her team. In retrospect, De Nuevo signaled eBay's demise. But hindsight is always 20/20. In a twist of irony, the initiative, named in Spanish despite its aim to localize, seemed destined to fail. Historically, eBay had already tried sending team members into each net before, with limited success. After its acquisition, swaths of China-born eBay executives were sent over, but most, having been raised or worked only in the U.S., could not bridge the gap on locality. When faced with conflicting ideas, eBay would often pull the experience card, superseding the decisions of each net employees. If China-born executives would create friction in each net, then born and raised Americans who were desperate to turn things around would create a wildfire. True enough, the chasm for locality proved even wider as language barriers mounted upon cultural barriers. At this time, eBay also suffered from financial technology challenges. While Alibaba had created Alipay, which their merchants took to quickly, eBay's PayPal was struggling to gain approval from Chinese authorities. Left with little choice, eBay's China team pivoted to build their own Alipay solution, named AFT. As fate would have it, eBay's PayPal had gained China approval at the same time that AFT was ready, and a political rift ensued between choosing PayPal or AFT. Meg wanted to end the infighting and decided that both AFT and PayPal would be used, which forced customers to navigate two websites instead of one when purchasing online. The confusion over its e-payment made adoption slow, and only 20% of its merchants adopted it. As the year ended, Taobao looked poised for its victory, if not for eBay's ability to outspend them. But by 2005, eBay's advantage would crumble, as the crocodile by the Yangtze River was about to get a whole lot fatter. It was a cool day in May 2005 at the renowned Pebble Beach Golf Course in California. Neither Jack nor Jerry kept in contact often, but they had built a strong affinity many years ago in 1997 when Jack had shown Jerry around China. In the years since, they had only gotten closer, especially since Masayoshi-san had been their mutual investor. Exchanges like these were rare for the two titans, as they shared insights about their respective companies and the emerging tech landscape.
Jack, what's the word on the streets about your tussle with eBay? Rumor has it eBay is pouring more resources into China,
Jerry casually mentioned.
Well, Jerry, the fight comes down to localization and perhaps technology,
Jack responded before turning the tables.
Actually, I've been curious about Yahoo. How did you build such a powerful search algorithm?
Jerry chuckled at the abrupt query.
You know, that's not something I can just explain on a whim. But tell me, what does search mean to you?
For me, search is the future of e-commerce. Currently, we have a few million users. But as China swells to a billion, effective search will be key. If we win in search, we might just knock eBay off the board.
Jack's intense vision stood in stark contrast to the cool breeze sweeping across the golf course.
Jack, I can see that. Search could indeed be the game changer for Alibaba.
That day marked the beginning of Project Pebble, as the duo ignited a potentially transformative idea. Yahoo, despite relentless efforts, had been struggling to secure a strong foothold in China. Alibaba, with its strong local presence, presented a promising pathway to success. By the latter half of 2005, Project Pebble began to materialize. A symbiotic deal was struck. Yahoo would own 40% of Alibaba in exchange for $1 billion in cash and management rights over Yahoo's China division. This pact turned out to be groundbreaking for both parties. Alibaba gained access to Yahoo search code and additional funding to outpace eBay. In contrast, Yahoo made a financial gamble that would yield immense returns in the future. With their coffers filled, Taobao made a game-changing announcement in October 2005. Their platform would continue to be free for the next 3 years. This was a death sentence for eBay's prospects in China.
Today, eBay is truly a global marketplace. There are now 147 million users around the world in over 150 countries. Based on population, eBay would rank seventh on a list of the world's nations.
Despite the grim reality, eBay maintained an outwardly defiant stance, publicizing a statement.
Free is not a business model. It speaks volumes about the strength of eBay's business in China. The Taobao today announced that it is unable to charge for its products for the next 3 years.
However, the real situation was exposed in the stark numerical evidence. As 2005 drew to a close, eBay's market share had withered to 33%, while Taobao stood as a commanding force with 60%. Recognizing the inevitable, eBay adopted a free model in 2006. However, this move came too late, and they eventually sold their business to a Hong Kong magnate. The crocodile in the Yangtze River had chased away the shark. Yet, unbeknownst to them, another formidable adversary was silently poised in the waters. In the scorching heat of August 2004, an air of excitement surrounded Lei Jun. Back then, he wasn't the founder of Xiaomi, yet. Instead, he was the founder of Joyo.com, an e-commerce platform that had an eerie similarity to a behemoth in the West. Joyo.com started its journey by selling desktop programs. However, the unfolding e-commerce battle between eBay and Taobao inspired a new direction. So, they dived headfirst into selling books online, gradually diversifying into various media goods. By the end of 2003, they had risen as one of China's largest online retailers of books, music, and videos, racking up an impressive $75 million in sales. Observing their pattern and the potential of the market was Amazon. And in August 2004, they acquired Joyo.com. As the high-stakes e-commerce duel escalated, Amazon quietly and steadily nurtured Joyo.com. They expanded their product listing by a staggering 32 times, offered same-day delivery in Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou, and extended cash-on-delivery services to over 330 other cities. Silently, Amazon fulfillment centers began to dot the landscape of China. After eBay's exit, Amazon doubled down on preparing their infrastructure before deciding that it was time. On June 5, 2007, Joyo.com was renamed to Joyo Amazon, and the war between Amazon and China e-commerce had begun.
Amazon and Jeff Bezos have pursued what might be described as a very asset-heavy business model. And Alibaba has effectively an asset-light business. It is very much in terms of the retail piece of this. How do you think about that? Is Jeff Bezos right or are you right?
I hope both are right.
As Amazon sharpened its focus on China's e-commerce battleground, observers would point out that China e-commerce could be finished. Unlike eBay, which insiders would point out had poorer technology infrastructure as well as customer service dissatisfaction, Amazon seemed to have a relentless focus on their consumers. The company was built on what Amazon refers to as durable customer needs: price, selection, and convenience. And they were proficient at optimizing these three elements. Especially notorious was Amazon's aggressive price-slashing strategy, designed to out-muscle competitors. The common assumption was that Amazon would grasp the Chinese customers' needs based on these three factors, and then outperform domestic giants like Taobao and JD.com. JD.com is a Chinese behemoth that will need their own story. But today, we know them as the real, true Amazon of China, owning their own inventory, warehouse, and investing in transport partners. But back then, Amazon's entry had shook Alibaba, who was now suffering from a poor reputation. After defeating eBay in 2006, Taobao inadvertently created a new problem. The internet boom had significantly reduced the cost of establishing an online presence, and Taobao's commitment to providing free services to merchants allowed more than 140 million Chinese internet users to effortlessly launch their own businesses. Initially, this spurred a rapid expansion of Taobao's marketplace, but it soon triggered an unconventional price war among the merchants. With all prices visible to everyone, new Taobao merchants would simply undercut their competitors. At that time, the Chinese market was largely driven by price. Much like Taobao had undercut eBay, merchants began to undercut each other. This relentless price war became untenable, leading to the emergence of a new group, counterfeit merchants. By 2008, the counterfeit issue had escalated to an alarming extent. Genuine brand merchants found themselves cornered, and potential intellectual property infringements loomed ominously. This changing landscape favored competitors who maintained their own inventory and ensured product quality. By the year's end, Joyo Amazon had carved out a noteworthy 15% slice of the B2C market. The very paranoia that drove Jack Ma to establish Taobao now catalyzed the inception of Tmall, formerly known as Taobao Mall. Tmall was designed to be a sharp departure from Taobao's bazaar-like model. It aimed to replicate an online shopping mall where certified brands could display their products. Determined to transform Taobao into a credible platform, several measures were introduced, including stringent merchant qualifications and brand ownership authorizations. Tmall pioneered the concept of flagship stores, franchised stores, and a 7-day return policy in China. Previously, these weren't considered significant, as the extremely low prices on Taobao meant returns were seldom worth the effort. With Tmall structure firming up, the battle to win the pockets of China's e-commerce would be hard for Joyo Amazon, as Amazon would learn firsthand why eBay was sent running back home. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 4 of a 5-part series, Crocodile by the Yangtze River. Next on Empires, we'll observe the fast and vapid demise of Amazon before witnessing the growth of Alibaba's final pillar, supply and logistics, that would turn the Yangtze trap crocodile into a global dragon. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 5 of our 5-part series, Dragon in the Ocean. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and edited by Guang Jin, audio experienced by Ethan Sam, and narrated by Louise Cruz. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.